I'm reminded of a story my dad used to tell of a church, Baptist church, of course, that was in search of a new pastor, of a minister. And we had what you call a pulpit committee, if you know what those are, a small group usually headed by the chairman of the deacons. And they would go off and interview candidates, and if they had a candidate that they felt serious about and felt the Spirit calling them, they would go hear the candidate preach. And then they would invite that candidate to come to the host church and deliver a message. Does this sound familiar? Okay. And the pastor, the pulpit committee went out and they heard this fairly middle-aged pastor. He'd been in the ministry for quite a while. They invited him to come and preach a sermon. And man, he preached a great sermon. I mean, it just powerful. I mean, it just had everybody on the ends of their seats. And he finished, and of course, the pulpit and the chairman of the pulpit committee, the deacons went up to him and said, "Oh, Pastor, that was a great message. That was just, you know, really great. I want you to stay this afternoon. We want to have a time of questions and answers and give the body time to talk to you." They did, and he left. And the committee met that week, and they prayed, and they just felt this was the man for the church. So they took it to the church for a vote. So the church body voted, and they overwhelmingly called the man, and he came. About 2 or 3 months later, he left his church and came to this church, and they were all excited to hear him again, and he got up that Sunday morning, and wow, delivered another great message. But it was the same message that he preached when he came. So I thought, well, okay, you know, that's okay. You know, maybe there were people missing, and he wanted to preach that. That's great. So I went away, and the chairman of the deacons met him at the door, and Pastor, you know, that was a good message. That was really good. Okay, left. Next Sunday, they all come to church, waiting to see what the message is, and he comes to church and stands up and delivers the same message again. Well, the people are now beginning to whisper, yeah, haven't we kind of heard this somewhere else before? I mean, you know, this is 2 weeks back to back, and so they start talking amongst themselves. So on the way out the door, the chairman of the deacons is talking to the pastor. Pastor, that's a good message. I mean, that's really a good, there are a lot of points in that message. You know, we've heard it really well. It's just kind of wondering, you know, when we might hear a different message. And the pastor shook his hand and looked at him and said, "Well, when y'all start doing what I'm preaching, I'll move on to a new topic." So that's not what today's message is about. I'm preaching a different message. And that wasn't meant for you. But sometimes we get caught up in the message and we're attentive and we listen to it, but we don't really apply it. And I'm as guilty. I want you to understand, when I say things like that, I'm just as guilty on this side as you are. I am no different than you. So many churches end up putting their pastors and their senior pastors up on what high pedestals, and they think there's nothing they can do wrong. I'm going to tell you, they're no different than you and I. We make bad decisions. Just ask our other half, and they'll be happy to give you ideas of where we maybe missed the mark a couple of times. But as messages are put together and delivered, as a person delivering them, we hope that people are listening to the heart of the message. Because God does not allow His Word to go out void. And it did my heart good this morning. Many of you were telling me that you were wondering what I was going to do today. Was I going to sit on another speaker? Was I going to do something? Chris wasn't here. I'm going to share, if you don't mind, Chris. Chris met me in the hallway this morning. And he says, "I want to inspect that speaker. I want to make sure you didn't crack it or break it or anything." And I said, "Well, you weren't here last night." He says, "No, I listened to it online. It was good." I was going to come back this morning. So the speaker's fine and it works well. I didn't break anything. The title of this morning's message is called Next Steps. In our New Testament reading we just had a few minutes ago from Galatians, we heard the word faith used. Over the years, I'm sure all of you have heard many messages on faith. I'd like to spend a little time looking at faith, but then move on to what happens after the revelation of faith in an individual. Going back now and rereading Galatians Scripture in the King James, we hear this. "But the Scripture hath concluded all are under sin, and that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to them that believe." But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, some people read that, and I'm very confused. What the heck are they actually talking about? You know, I know what faith is. You know, faith is when you believe in something and there's no evidence to prove it. That's faith. Why does he say we don't have faith? Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. That faith is what Paul is talking about to the Galatians. He's trying to get them to realize what has occurred through the crucifixion of Christ. For you see, before Christ, all were governed by the law. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. The law is what everyone was guided by, and they were not realizing that that time had come and that faith had been revealed. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So the crucifixion of Christ was the revelation of the faith. So in the Old Testament, we lived under the laws. Now, does this mean the laws are bad? No. It just says we lived under the laws to have faith forward until what? The Lamb came and was crucified and washed away the sins. So that was the revelation of the faith that is now available to each and every one of us. And here are the Galatians that lived in that time, saw what had happened, and still didn't understand. Does that make sense? They were still living by the law, not realizing that the faith had been revealed to them and that they could move forward. The law was used to bring the people of Yahweh to Him through obedience until the faith could be revealed. Paul was trying to get the Galatians to realize that faith had been revealed and now was the time to take the next steps instead of just constantly following the law. I'd like to look at several examples of faith in the Scripture, and I'm sure you have thousands of them, but I picked just a couple. Jesus healed many people who came to Him requesting healing. The New Testament is full of numerous accounts of the sick, blind, leprosy, crippled, and possessed that came to Him for healing. And many times Jesus just touched or spoke to them and they were immediately healed. Did these people have faith? Or were they just seeking out the latest healer to travel through the countryside? Did they really have faith that Jesus could heal them? Or were they just hoping He would heal them? How can we tell? How do we know? How do we know what they were thinking? Did they really believe He was the Messiah? Or had they been afflicted for so long they were looking for any solution, any opportunity to heal them of their sickness or their blindness or their leprosy? What's the truth in all of these circumstances? I don't know, and I believe only God truly knows what each of these people were thinking or believing at that moment in time. Yet, there are other miracles of healing that Jesus performed which required the recipient to do something before they were healed. You remember some of those stories? One such example is found in Luke 17, verses 12 through 19. It's the story of the 10 lepers. Do you remember the story of the 10 lepers? The lepers cried out to Jesus for mercy, and He told them to go and show themselves to the priest. Now, in Jesus' time, lepers were not allowed in the town, much less near the temple or the synagogue. In fact, if they were found in town, what did people do? Stoned them. They picked up stones and they stoned them to get them out of the town. They didn't even allow. And yet Jesus looks at these 10 lepers and says, go show yourself to the priest and you'll be healed. Now, there's a lot of faith there to go from wherever they were in town to wherever the temple was to find the priest. I mean, they could have been just standing right outside the temple. We don't really know. Or they could have had to go to the other side of Ellicott City, meeting all these people on the street, hoping nobody picked up stones and stoned them till they could get to the priest. They went and they saw the priest. And they were healed. Immediately. Yet, only one of them returned to Jesus, glorifying God, falling down on his face at Jesus' feet, and giving thanks. Jesus told him his faith had made him whole. What happened to the other nine? We don't know. It's not really called out. It could have been they went to see their families they hadn't seen in years. I think it's doubtful that they were spreading the good news. They could have been. This one leper did return and thank Jesus and glorify him for healing him. Yet, there's a difference here because he had to go do something that would heal him. It wasn't a touch. Or Jesus could have healed him just by touching. He could have healed him just by speaking to them. But he didn't. He said, go do this. So that they would understand that by doing what they were told, it was their faith that healed him. Now, it should be noted that this one man that came back, the scripture calls out, was a Samaritan. Not really a follower of the law, right? I mean, Jews didn't really consort with Samaritans. Remember the woman at the well? Jacob's well? Odd that the one that came back was a Samaritan and was one that didn't follow the law. Was it easier for him to accept faith? I don't know. That's probably actually a good topic for another message to talk about why the one that wasn't under the law or didn't follow the law was one that came back. Because he really began to understand what true faith was, maybe. It's an interesting topic to think about that because as you look at these 10 men, we don't know what consumed the other nine. They were probably all Jews because Jesus only calls out this one person to be a stranger, to be a Samaritan. He didn't mention that of the others. He just said, where's the other nine? Weren't there nine of you? Yet this is the only one that came back. And it was through his faith that Christ said he was healed. And then there's the accounting in scriptures of those who had so much faith that they only needed to touch Jesus, our request of him a healing for someone else. Remember the story of the woman with the 12-year-old blood disease? And she knew that if she could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be made whole. The account is found in Luke 8, verses 43 to 48. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. She knew that if she could just touch the hem of his garment. Jesus was walking in a multitude. There were crowds of people. You've seen the old movies, the Cecil B. DeMille movies, where there's just crowds and crowds of people trying to hustle. Any of y'all been to the Holy Land? Been to the old towns? Know how narrow the streets are? You know, hundreds of people trying to get down those streets, crowding. Thousands of people, hundreds of people were touching him all the time. But one. Why did he feel her touch? Because of her faith. She had faith that she knew that if she just touched the hem of his garment, she would be healed. She had spent her entire life savings on physicians, and none could heal her. But she knew if she just touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed. Wow. There's another place in Scripture says you just need to have the faith of a mustard seed. She had a lot more faith than a mustard seed. Was she just taking a chance that Jesus could heal her, or did she know through faith that he could? I believe it was her faith. She believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he did possess the power from God to heal her, and that he would heal her. After all, as the disciples stated, it was crowded. There were many people there. It was her faithful touch that caused a healing. And that reminds me of the story of the centurion in Capernaum. Do you remember the centurion in Capernaum that had a sick servant? He had a very sick servant, yet he knew that Jesus could heal his servant without even seeing the servant. He knew Jesus didn't physically need to do anything at all to heal his servant. Now, he was a person of authority. He commanded many men, and he had many servants. A person of authority. That meant he could just say things and they happened. Whether it was the troops or his servants or anything else, he just spoke and it happened. He understood authority, but he also understood only those things he had authority over. And he realized that Jesus was in authority over everything. He knew there were no limits to Jesus' capabilities. He merely went to see him to ask that he heal his servant. His house was too humble for Jesus to go to. He says, "I'm not worthy. Do not come to my house. I know you can heal my servant right there. You do not even need to see him. You can just speak, or you can just say he's healed and it's done." And Christ healed his servant. Faith. Far greater than faith of a mustard seed. In fact, what was Jesus' statement of the faith that this man had? He said, "I have not seen this level of faith in all of Israel." That's sad. All of the people that spent their lives under the law, knowing what to do and what not to do, didn't have nigh the faith of a Roman centurion. Oh, wait a minute. That's another stranger. That's not somebody that lived under the law, is it? That's somebody that understood authority and understood faith. And it's his faith that healed his servant. We can talk more and more about faith. We can try to define faith. But I think there's plenty of examples in the Scripture that help us to understand what faith is and how we leverage our faith. The big question is, what are we doing with our faith? Who are we sharing our faith with? Ourselves? I would think ourselves probably kind of know how big our faith is. Are we sharing it with our spouses, with our family members, with friends, with other relatives? How solid is your faith today? Are you one of those who know God is in authority over everything? If so, what are you doing about it? What are your next steps? Are you going to follow in the footsteps of those in Scripture who went out telling the world and everyone that would listen about the Messiah? Who did you talk to this past week? Who are you going to talk to this week? God willing, we will all be back here next Sunday. Will you have taken those next steps? Or will you still be waiting for verification of your faith? Faith is a difficult topic. It's not a hard concept to understand, but it is a difficult topic. Because while we understand, we need to move to doing. And so often we get stuck in the understanding. I'm as guilty as everybody. We get stuck in the understanding. I have faith. I know where I'm going. But am I sharing that with anyone else? It's never too late. It's never too late. Let us pray. Our Father, we have probably heard hundreds of messages on faith. And what that faith means. We need more messages on what we should be doing with that faith. For it is the application of our faith, sharing it with others, that reveals what faith is all about. Father, may we take this time to recommit ourselves to You, to recommit ourselves to our faith, and to be willing to share with others what You mean to us and the faith that we have in Your authority over everything in this world. For we ask this in Your name. Amen. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow Thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, Thou from thence my all shalt be.